It's time!
The ego rises again! 29-0.
That's it! He's got the chance!
Nate Diaz!
He's out!
He has done it! He's done it! It is all over! Nate Diaz beats Conor McGregor!
What a night, ladies and gentlemen! What a night!
Rose Lava, you're trying to close the show!
She was doing a great job of faith!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports. Hey, and welcome back to Pound for Pound, your home for all things combat sports. I'm your host, Andrew Crenari, and I'm here with Riley Lucas and Mahdi Dembele, finally back in the studio.
We missed you.
I know, we did, we did.
Oh my God, thank you.
It felt like a piece of us was missing.
Yeah, finally the crew's complete. It was a bit of a quiet week last week, but this weekend we have a huge boxing matchup between Devin Haney and Vasily Lomachenko.
Yes.
On top of that, we also have a bunch of announcements in the MMA world. So we have a lot to unpack with this episode, but first, how are you guys doing?
I mean, look at the shirt. I'm ready.
I see it.
For those who can't see this, I have my Devin Haney shirt on. I'm ready for this weekend. I'm hoping I'm just as happy next week when we all touch base. But this fight is something I've been looking forward to for a very long time. So now that it's creeping up, it's this Saturday, I couldn't be happier. Like, this is my Super Bowl, I feel like.
Yeah, I think this episode's going to be like her. Yeah, we're just going to let her go off. But I'm happy to be back. It's been a while, but yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be Riley's TED Talk, I guess, going into this one. But yeah, I mean, talk about some big announcements in the MMA world. We got Francis Ngannou signing to PFL, a bunch of UFC announcements. But before we get into that, I think that we just got to get right into the fight.
Let's do it.
Devin Haney.
Let's do it.
Versus Vasily Lomachenko going down at the MGM Grand Arena this Saturday night in Las Vegas. And it is a doozy of a fight. I mean, I feel like, Riley, I mean, do you want to say anything?
Let her cook.
Let me cook. No, first off, I want to say I would probably give up my firstborn child to attend this fight. So anyone who's going, good for you. I'm jealous. I wish I was you. But, I mean, it's really simple for me. I'm a Devin Haney girl. I love Devin Haney. Aside from the fact that I think he's an awesome, humble, cool guy, I think he is the future of boxing. I mean, everyone, I love Tank too. I love all these people. But when we talk about who the future face of boxing is, to me, it's Devin Haney. And there's multiple reasons I think that. I think, well, I mean, in terms of this fight, I think he has the size that's going to benefit him. I think he has this amazing skill, this amazing speed, this amazing momentum. He has this strong, sharp jab. He is a great counterpuncher. And, you know, a lot of people harp on him because he is a simple fighter, but who cares? He's a simple fighter that's hard to beat. He has the mechanics down to a T. He has 15 knockouts under his belt. He's 29-0. And at his young age, he's like almost like I'm almost the same age as him. That is crazy. You know, he also has Lomachenko beat by 6-inch reach. I think to me, this is an easy Devin Haney win. Obviously, I think Lomachenko is an amazing boxer. I also am a fan of Lomachenko, but not to the level I am of Devin Haney. I think there's a lot of things that work more in Devin Haney's benefit. And I think Lomachenko, he's an older guy. He's 17-2, I believe. He has 11 knockouts under his belt, which is still incredible. But he's 10 years older than Haney. And although I do think that more advanced IQ could help him in a sense, that experience, I don't think that's going to carry this fight. I think that he also is a little fundamentally stronger than Devin Haney all around, but Devin Haney is the future of boxing. He knows what he's doing. He's been trying to fight Lomachenko for 4 years now, and although I'm happy they didn't fight early on, I'm happy it's happening now. I think it's really well-deserved, this fight for him, and I really hope I don't even need to say I hope. I know he's going to go out there. He's going to show Lomachenko that this is his sport now, and he's taken over.
Wow. What a statement there,
Let
Riley.
Cook.
That was emphatic right there. Yeah, I mean, we let her cook. Jeez, that was quite the opinion right there. Yeah, I mean, you're highlighting a lot of good things I'm seeing with this matchup. That is, you know, Devin Haney's reach advantage, and also like his simple skill set. Yeah. But I do want to say, even though it's simple, it's not always stupid. You know, I feel like there's a lot of depth into simplicity, especially centering around boxing, which is a very limited skill set, as, you know, compared to MMA, where you're mixing in wrestling, clinch work, kicks, all that type of stuff. When you really look at boxing, it's a much simpler in the techniques that you use. But Devin Haney, I feel like, has really perfected those techniques and able to bring those to new depths.
And he's just such a, I mean, to jump in and just love him up
ahead.
Some more.
You, no, go ahead. This is you.
No, but he's just, aside from the fact, like, my bias, I know I'm very biased. My bias aside, what I really like about Devin Haney is that he'll say, he's like, I could care less about money. I could care less about clout. Like, I just want to be the best boxer. Like, I want to put in that work to be the top boxer. I want to be remembered forever. And I think with boxing, or just, you know, all sports in general, sometimes people get a little lost and, you know, the benefits that come with it, like the clout, the money, they start to get a little flashy, a little cocky. And I feel like Devin Haney's always remained humble, and I see him constantly remaining humble in the future. And I really like how he just wants to be the best boxer. He doesn't care about the other stuff. Obviously, it's a perk, but, you know, he's very driven, and that's what I think is going to carry him to the top.
What I think is the most impressive thing, and you just brought it up, was his focus, especially for a guy that young. I believe he's only 24 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about guys in the studio, guys like Kobe Bryant, right? The focus that they had for their craft. Devin Haney seems to be that type of guy who's a zealot when it comes to his craft. And he's not concerned with the limelight. He's not concerned with anything else. He just wants to box.
Yeah.
So that's really, really impressive. Haney turned professional, I want to say he was 17 years old. He's coming off of wins off of Menard and guys like Burgos and Moran. He's looking to prove a lot of people wrong. Mm-hmm. You heard the arguments that, of course, he's one-dimensional. His boxing's too fundamental. And he has pillow hands. He doesn't have that great equalizer. Especially for
tell
a guy.
Tell me who said that.
Especially with a guy like Lomachenko. I think even with his two fights against Kambosos Jr., this is probably going to be the biggest test of his career, Lomachenko's experience. He kind of disappointed me with that loss to Teofimo Lopez.
Yeah.
Because I believe they're in the rankings. He was higher at that time. And I couldn't imagine a universe where he would lose to such a guy. He was passive in the earlier rounds. And he tried to make up for it later in the fight. But it was just too little too late. Lomachenko's going to put the pressure on. I don't think he has a choice. 35 years old.
Agreed.
He's a smaller guy. You want to stay out of the reach of Devin Haney's lead hand, because that's the hand that's most dangerous. That's his best hand. Really, I think what Devin Haney has to do is he has to go back to what he knows is that left hand and those combinations, because he's such a good counter striker, as you said. It's that lead hand, and then it's the right hook that follows. So this is going to be an interesting fight. Styles make fights, and a southpaw versus an orthodox, this one's going to be going to be fun.
That, I think, could also hurt Devin Haney. I think that's the biggest issue that he has coming into this fight, because, you know, the thing about Devin Haney is he does have an issue fighting with open stance, and that's a terrible flaw to have to go into this. And Haney is very comfortable, we know, facing orthodox fighters, and Lomachenko, on the other hand, is not. So he's actually one of the best southpaw boxers in the world. So, you know, you really got to tweak some things. I think Devin Haney hopefully has tweaked all these issues, but this will give, you know, Haney something different to think about in terms of angles and movements and defense. And, you know, Devin Haney's jab fails to be as effective in that open stance. So I think that really leaves him susceptible to the straight cross and lead hook to the body and the head. So, you know, there's a couple issues we have here that we could have here, but I'm just hoping that Devin Haney's team is on it, and I'm sure they are. Like, he's a smart kid. That's the thing. His boxing IQ is out of this world for someone so young.
Yeah.
You know, it goes, you know, obviously his power's incredible. His jab's incredible. Like, he has all these things, but his boxing IQ is what the most prominent thing about him is.
Yeah.
But there's easy ways I think we could discuss, like, both people could have to win this fight, and Lomachenko as well. Like I said, Devin Haney is very comfortable with being a counter puncher. Therefore, like, Lomachenko, he has to put him in unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
Like, he has to switch things up.
Got to give him pressure.
And another thing, Lomachenko, I think he's really going to look to expose Haney late in the fight, and I don't think that's what he needs to do here. Mm-hmm. He can't do it. It's just a matter of, you cannot do that with Devin Haney. He needs to start this fight early. He needs to, you know, because here's the thing. If he waits, he's going to be surprised that Devin Haney doesn't get as fatigued as much as he thinks he's going to. That's kind of, Lomachenko always depends on people wearing out, because he has stamina that people don't have in this ring. Like, Lomachenko is a monster. Mm-hmm. He's
Yeah, I don't mean to cut in, but I think that's what Lomachenko really excels at, and how he could possibly win this fight. If we see Devin Haney go out there and be really aggressive trying to set up those counters and move with that lead hand, Lomachenko is known for his footwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always that like famous story I heard on Joe Rogan where like his father took him out of boxing academy and put him in, I believe, like Russian dancing classes.
I mean, it's worked. Like, look at him.
For decades. Yeah. And because of that basis, he was so effective of just cutting angles and making people miss, tiring them out, like you said, Riley, and leading to those finishes later on. But as you said also, Devin Haney is a person that does not gas and does not really quit as that fight gets later later into those rounds, as we saw when he fought Kambosos.
Yeah.
So I think it's very, very interesting here. And I think that Devin Haney really needs a smart game plan to kind of overcome just the Rubik's Cube that is Lomachenko. It's a tough...
That was the best way to say
it. It's a tough puzzle to solve, but anybody can, it's Devin Haney.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is the key to this fight is the timeliness of their aggression. Going back to Kambosos and even a guy like Nakatani, Loma bounced back in a big way. Even after his loss to Lopez, he proved that he could punch up even with a bigger guy. So that's going to be huge in this fight. And again, for Devin Haney, he's going to have to stick into his game and get comfortable within his own game. You know, that lead hand into the right. And he's going to have to look to be the aggressor as well in this situation. So I feel like it's whoever is able to make the timely decision to just go for it, if that makes sense. I think that's the guy that wins this fight. And again, Devin Haney.
Well, it's going to be Devin Haney.
It's going to be Devin Haney. Okay, what I can tell you is this fight's going to go to 12. This fight's definitely going to go to that.
I agree. It's going to go the distance for me. It's a very different fight than the Tank Ryan Garcia fight. I know we all said that in the back room, but it's very different. I think that these are two like completely different styles being brought into the ring.
Yeah.
You have Tank and Ryan Garcia. We knew some form of a knockout was going to come here. And that fight was also very big because of social status. And, you know, it made waves for those reasons. But with Devin Haney, Lomachenko, like, this is the fight for real boxing fans. Like, this is the big event.
You highlighted really well there, Riley. I think that, like, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Tank versus Ryan Garcia, I mean, we were all super excited. And that turned out to be an amazing fight. And those guys, I feel like, really defined, like, the epitome of, like, flashy boxing on social media.
The
and
new
like
kinda, star.
He's
like
baby Texas. Floyd Mayweather, you know?
Exactly. And like, you know, walking out with Chief Keef right side by side of him. I know we mentioned that. I think they really showed like the epitome of like flashy boxing and how it's viewed in mainstream media. I think this is on the other side of the coin where it's really a fighter's fight.
Yeah.
It's something that fans have been wanting for the past couple years. And people that are in the know really want to see this fight and are really excited.
Absolutely.
I mean, here's a little side note. Do we think Devin Haney is going to walk out with someone? Is he going to have a Chief Keef moment? But
no,
I don't know.
I think he...
I don't think he's like that.
I don't think he is. And obviously it worked out well for Gervonta Davis. But imagine if he lost that fight. That would have been so embarrassing.
I mean, but if you're walking out to Love Sosa, you're not losing.
That
I don't
is
care.
True.
Yeah, with
you could be blind and I still
the
think
entire
you're
money
that
team
fight
behind you. You can't lose.
That is very, very true. But I think Devin Haney is going to be cool, composed. I think he's really going to view it as kind of like a night in the office. He's going to be real focused going into that ring. I don't see anything flashy coming from him. I think he's going to go in there to really make a statement.
Yeah. Do you guys think that if Lomachenko loses this, this is going to be like his escape to retire? Or do we think he's still got more in him?
Lomachenko's done. I can't say that Lomachenko's done. This is his road back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's coming off of those big wins. I can't say that he's done even after this fight. Because I know this is at 135, if I'm not mistaken, right? So that's an advantage there for actually Lomachenko.
Yeah.
The last time that Devin Haney fought at 135, he didn't look that good. I think it was against Kambosos Jr. Didn't look that good. I don't know if you guys saw the picture, but he looked like he was dying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he's going to feel at that weight again. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Loma's just
an animal.
I think
we can see a bit of a changing in the guard with this one. I think if Lomachenko loses this one, I think, one, he's going to be kind of taken out of those conversations of, like, you know, some of the greatest lightweight fighters.
Which
kind of
hurts me to see.
Which sucks.
It does suck. It does suck. But I don't think he's going to retire after this fight.
Yeah.
I think
not at all.
Win or lose, win, I think that, you know, starts his path back to the title or continues his path
comeback
there.
Story.
Yeah.
Comeback story, like Mahdi was saying. But if he loses, I can see him just bouncing around, being more of kind of like a gamekeeper.
A journeyman?
Yeah, a journeyman.
See, another...
Which I hate to say because, I mean...
Lomachenko was so... Yeah. It was the Lopez law. I
hate to see
up
people, you know, their legacies like peak and then plummet. I don't want to say plummet because it hasn't plummeted. He like we're acting like he's like on this crazy losing streak. He's 17-2. That's not horrible.
With 11 knockouts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's literally the furthest thing from bad. But another thing that's exciting for me too is that if Devin Haney does win this, I most likely feel that he'll fight Shakur Stevenson. And I cannot stand Shakur Stevenson.
I don't know why.
I just can't. And, you know, my parents are from Jersey, so I feel like, you know, he's from Jersey, too. I always have a soft spot for Jersey people, but I can't stand Shakur Stevenson. I don't like hearing a word come out of his mouth. He really bothers me to that extent. So if Devin Haney were to also surpass and beat him, like, this is awesome. And I don't see, like, if Lomachenko wins this, I don't see Lomachenko fighting Shakur Stevenson. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it doesn't have the same stakes there.
Yeah, Shakur, like, he keeps saying, like, he just wants the winner. And, I like, of course, I'm going to reiterate, Devin Haney is the winner in my eyes.
Okay.
But if Lomachenko somehow wins this, I don't see Lomachenko ever fighting Shakur Stevenson. I just don't. It doesn't work for me.
If not, then we're probably going to see Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence.
Yeah.
That's something I've been waiting for a very long time. Not to get off topic. I'm just saying it's been 4 years.
That would be your Devin Haney Lucas moment. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
But
fingers
crossed. You know, I feel like I could rant about this forever, which I probably will for the next 4 days. But there's just so many things that Devin Haney could really utilize to win this fight. And I think he really needs to follow the Lopez method and impose his side to side on Loma. He has to utilize his size and go in there early and set the tone. And he really needs to keep Loma at bay. That's something that worked for Lopez. So, like, why not do it again? Like, that's clearly the focus. And, you know, it's been proven by Ortiz, too, that the key to beating Loma is pressing forward and keeping him on his back foot. And, you know, Haney cannot win by moving backwards solely. It's not going to happen.
Not at all.
It's not. And like you said, like, Loma has that footwork. Devin Haney, that's the one thing that Loma, like, extremely has Devin Haney beat in that category. He doesn't have that fancy footwork, but he has the stamina. He has the endurance. He just needs to, I think, stay calm, cool, collected, and just use his fighting IQ, use that boxing IQ. Yeah. I think that'll carry him.
And I will like to say, I mean, footwork doesn't mean anything when you're caught in a corner, caught against the ropes.
Facts.
So if, like you're saying, Devin Haney can really push the pressure, keep him on the back foot, and get him against, you know, the ropes or a corner in a bad situation, I mean, it kind of negates a lot of the strengths of Lomachenko.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess off the back of Madi, what are you
Which is why I'm saying Lomachenko has to get in there. I think he has to fight more of like a brawler, like a swarmer type of style of boxing. You got to get into his chest and you got to give him
dog.
He's
got to
use that southpaw stance too to
you
his advantage.
You got to give him body shots. You can't let Devin Haney come forward at you.
Agreed.
Again, you can't fight backwards.
I mean, look what happened with Tank. Like that, he fought smart. I mean, that body shot is what got him the win.
Another guy with a high boxing IQ.
Yeah. He needs to get those jabs to the body more than the head, I think, Lomachenko in this fight. Because they will work wonders for him in the later rounds. Because that's what you need to do to slow Devin Haney down. Like, he has that stamina. He doesn't get fatigued. He can last 12 rounds.
This is an interesting fight for sure. Because, again, if Lomachenko is able to get into his chest, I'm interested to see how Tank reacts. Because, again, there's that experience there. There's that gap of 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen a fight where Devin was the little guy per se, where he was the guy getting pounding on. I want to see how he reacts. And again, that lack of a equalizer, that big right or that swinging left hook, I want to see how he reacts if a guy's in his chest.
Yeah, I know this is random, but I feel like I'm getting like parallels to like the Pacquiao vibes here
with Floyd.
Yeah, and that's a reach, but I feel like Lomachenko like is giving me like Pacquiao vibes here.
Oh, Lomachenko.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting like slight like I feel like I'm like like reliving that in that sense.
Similar styles.
Yeah.
Similar. I think obviously, I mean, we could see that
like,
in the South.
The redemption-ish story. Like I feel like that's what we're seeing here a little bit, slightly.
That's a good comparison. Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, wow, I didn't think of that.
It's going to be
yeah.
close either way. I think I'm not going to lie. I do think it's
going
to be a very close
fight.
It's going decision. It's going decision. And here, like, unlike Tank and Ryan, like, legacy is really on the line here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That
very
wasn't
much so.
That wasn't a stipulation with them. So it's going to be, there's going to be more heart in the ring with this one.
Yeah. And if Devin Haney manages to close out Loma, there's no more questions about the kid. He's the next star of boxing. Nobody could say anything about him anymore.
More so than Tank, honestly.
Yeah.
We did talk about that a couple weeks ago, and I feel like
Devin Haney then, too. So.
That is true. That is true. And he's starting to come into his own right as kind of a bit of a face of boxing. But I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think 100% Devin Haney would be the new face of boxing.
Devin Haney gets just a statement, more out of the limelight. That's the thing. Yeah. People, because I feel like real boxing fans know that this is the fight that showcases who's the face, but people who just watch to watch are they're like, oh,
the boxing
purist. Ryan Garcia was never in the question of the face of boxing with Peace and Love. Like, I don't, I'm not a Ryan Garcia hater. I just love Tank 1,000 times more, but like, there was never a question where Ryan Garcia was going to be the face of boxing. Like, that was the biggest reach of the 21st century. Like, this is like an actual, like, plausible thing. Like, you got Lomachenko and Devin Haney. Like, that, you know, I still think Canelo's up there, obviously, but this is a big deal, and it's who's going to be, especially like if Devin Haney wins this. Like, that, I think a lot of more eyes are going to be on Devin Haney. He's kind of flown under the radar.
Yeah,
he's not in the media really a lot.
Especially if that Shakur Stevenson fight happens. Also, if Devin Haney is successful on Saturday night, that would be fantastic for him in terms of just getting recognition.
Yeah.
And people can look back at this Lomachenko performance if he is successful and be like, this guy is legit on top of, you know, being a good personality on top of that.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, I don't think Devin Haney has a lot of haters, but I think that people don't like him because of his dad, Bill Haney.
There's naysayers. Yeah. His dad's awesome. I love his
dad. That's my point. Like, I feel like people don't realize, like, Bill Haney is like the LeVar Ball of fighting or boxing.
I mean, yeah, pretty true, honestly.
He really is. Like, he's that guy. It's like, you can't stand him, but then you also, like, love him at the same time. And that's how I feel about him. Like, yeah, does he annoy me a little bit? 1,000%. But he makes me laugh, and his dedication to his son is what got Devin Haney here, which is like, obviously the Ball brothers didn't amount to as much as we thought they would, but at the time being, I mean, there was three of them in the NBA. That's crazy. Like, these dads who are really obnoxious in the media, like, they're just being good dads, like, pushing their kids. Like, I can't hate Bill Haney. Like, his son's, like, awesome, and that's because of his guidance and him pressuring him. So do I think maybe he should, like, not love eat the media time up so much? Whatever. Yeah, sure. And I will say, Devin Haney, the one thing he is doing right now that's bothering me a little bit, I was telling you this earlier, Madi.
Yeah.
I feel like he's trying to create, like, more of a storyline, like, last minute. And he's like, oh, me and Lomachenko are enemies. Like, we have beef, like, because he didn't fight me 4 years ago. And I feel like he's just reaching for it.
Yeah, like, I don't like that either. I'm glad that you talked about that. Because, like, I feel like some fighters try to do that to kind of, you know, tick
up
the pay-per-views
more,
a little bit. You know, hype up the crowd a little bit. But it just seems so corny to me. It's just like, the stakes are already there for this fight, and it's already huge for people to actually know about it. You don't need to go out there and try to create something totally fabricated, because it just makes you look kind of stupid.
Yeah, and Lomachenko's still a legend. Just respect it and move on. And it's like him saying, like, oh, like, he turned down a fight 4 years ago. First off, you should be happy, because
you did not want Loma 4 years ago.
Four years ago, he was more in his prime, and you were not. Like, you're, like, this is the peak Devin Haney, obviously. Yeah. I mean, he's only been around so long. He's a young kid, but, like, you should be very happy. And also, like, I don't think that's, like, beef. Like, you just didn't accept a fight with some no-name kid at the
time. Yeah, it's just some corny, like, storyline stuff.
Like, beef, yeah.
I don't understand that. I mean, that would be like Sean O'Malley trying to fight Piotr Jan before his suspension and everything, like when he still had the big afro. It's like, you would not want
beef.
That fight.
Yeah, like, exactly. You should be thanking God or Allah. Like, you should really be, like, very happy, Devin Haney, because now we're going to see you potentially beat one of the GOATs of boxing. Like, this is what we have coming here. So I'm excited. I think moral of the story, if Haney just tweaks those little things, he also, you know, has that bad habit of staying stationary when he probes the jab. If he fixes that, like, easy money. I think Devin Haney's got this.
Easy money. Lomachenko.
Okay, easy money might be a reach. But I got
to
support
my
boy.
I'm so holding you to that. If he doesn't win, line on the podcast next week, easy money.
All I have to say, though, is that for the viewers, like, this is the last time we're meeting in person for a while, and I'm very happy in case something does happen to go wrong. I do have faith in Devin Haney, but I don't have to face you guys in person.
I didn't get to
make
fun of her last week.
Yeah, I don't have to face you guys in person now in case things do go south. So I don't think that's going to be an issue anyways, of course, but again, got the Devin Haney shirt on. I'm ready. I've been waiting to wear this. I told Andrew last week, I was like, I almost wore the Devin Haney shirt, but because we touched on it a little bit, but I'm like, no. You're not here. I need Madi. I need to rub it in everyone's face. I need to profess my love.
Rub it in our faces. We're with you.
I didn't think you would be.
Well, actually, we haven't had our picks out yet.
You know what?
And
I think you would be.
I guess before we wrap this up, we'll do a bit of a round table here. Riley, what's your pick? I know you've been going back and forth this entire
this entire
who's
time.
Win?
After much deliberation.
It's a tough decision. It's almost as if I might go Lomachenko. No, I'm kidding. definitely Devin Haney. I think it's going the distance, though. I think Devin Haney by decision, for sure.
Unanimous decision? Split decision? You think he's going to... How successful do you think this fight's going to be?
Listen, I want to confidently be like unanimous decision, but I think there is a chance of a split decision because Lomachenko's still like, I'm not going to discredit him as a boxer as well, because he's 17-2. And
a legend.
He's a legend, you know, and he has like a lot of amazing, incredible qualities. Yeah. So this is like my dream fight. It's not only that I'm a Devin Haney fan, it's that he's fighting Lomachenko. I think that's like my dream, like, because I still like Lomachenko. Yeah. I'm not like a Lomachenko hater. It's not like my hate for Shakur Stevenson. Like, I like Lomachenko. So I could see it split decision as well, but I still think, you know, I got to rep my boy, Devin Haney.
I will tell you, this will be like a storybook ending for Devin Haney in his pursuit of greatness, right?
Yeah.
He comes in at 17, Juan Carlos Burgos, guys like Abdullaev.
I believe his hard name to pronounce.
Yeah,
I'll let you
Joseph,
get that one.
Yeah, Joseph Diaz Jr., and he's fighting all these guys, and then George Kambosos Jr. in two convincing fights. I think he takes Lomachenko. Lomachenko, I love him, 35 years of age. He's a legend in this game. Everything he's done, I think, I keep saying it because the Lopez fight is what's really disappointed me. But I think this will be probably one of the most organic, like, rises to stardom in the career of Devin Haney. So I have him going the distance and in a signature fight for him.
This is a tough one. I'm actually flip-flopping, literally, was saying that. You know what? I'm going to be the one to stick my neck out. Ooh. Lomachenko split decision.
I was
think he's
hoping
gonna
you
get
would.
Lomachenko in the
I
split.
I'll
take Devin in a split.
Okay, I think he's going to bring the fight to Haney, and I think
Absolutely.
That Haney,
yeah.
if he doesn't have a great game plan, I think Lomachenko can really take advantage of that. And also, yeah. I forget which one of you guys highlighted when he becomes planted, when he really throws that right hand or lead hand
yeah.
of his. It would just allow Lomachenko to really dance around him, cut a couple angles,
yeah.
and I think that would allow him to steal some rounds, but. Either way, I mean, this is going to be so...
We're going to see
how Dev hangs with his back against the wall, because Loma's going to bring it. He's going to bring the assault.
Yeah, all I have to say is, if by chance this does go south, don't call me for a month.
Oh, she's going to block our numbers.
I'm blocking everyone.
Yeah,
I'm going offline.
She's
going to
leave the pound-for-pound group chat.
Yeah,
it's all
I
over.
I quit the show. I mean, I'm a little nervous just for the sake of I got my like first big fight loss. The last time we talked, so I just don't want this to be the start of my downhill slope. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I think you got a
Hopes
pretty good
prayers.
Bet going. We'll see.
Team Haney. Yeah. He's the dream, baby. He's the dream for a reason.
Team Loma. He's going to get it done. We'll see.
Team, I don't know.
Well, that's going down Saturday night. And other than that, though, I don't know what Dana White was on yesterday,
Woo!
But he announced so many fights.
He was waiting for that Francis news.
I know. We're going to talk about that in a bit, which is very interesting that I chose to announce it the same day that Francis Ngannou signs to the PFL. We're going to talk about that because that's very interesting, a lot of stipulations there. But I do want to get over or talk about these two cards that Dana White announced, because he finally confirmed UFC 290 and 291,
yes,
and
sir.
It is some Crazy. Fantastic fights. So for UFC 290, which is International Fight Week, a lot of people said that John Jones might be fighting. That fight is sadly not happening. I don't even know if that fight's going to happen anymore because they've been jawing at each other
yeah.
in contract negotiations. Anyway, hopefully we'll see that fight, but in its place, we got Alexander Volkanovski, the featherweight champion, taking on Yair Rodriguez, who is the interim champion at the featherweight division. In the main event, that is going to be a fantastic fight. Volkanovski is considered probably the greatest pound-for-pound fighter currently in the UFC, which is debatable, especially with that Makhachev fight.
You know, quick note, when I watch it back, I'm like, the fight, like, Islam won the fight. Like, he won the actual fight. Volk won, like, the fan, like, just hyping up the crowd and stuff.
That's exactly what I said.
But when you're actually looking at the fight, punch for punch, kick for kick, I would give it to Makhachev.
Yeah.
This is just, a crazy card. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah. I mean, I think Rodriguez is going to bring such an interesting skill set against Volkanovski. I cannot wait to see this fight go down because, I mean, Rodriguez is known as, like, having some of the craziest kicks in UFC history.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it, he'll do it. You can see a cartwheel kick, flying knee, two-touch kick. Crazy stuff. And also on top of that, he's really developed his skill set a whole lot. I mean, he's gone through fights with Max Holloway, Josh Emmett, which was the one that he actually won the interim belt with. And he's looked fantastic in his past couple fights. So I cannot wait for this fight. It's going to be great. Quick predictions? anything out there? Have you guys really even settled on anything yet? Are you just excited?
I'm just excited. I think this is just way too much to take in. Like, I can't settle on
it. You know what? I'll take Volk. Take Volk and Opsky.
I think the safe bet is Volk.
I'm not putting anything out there yet. I'll take Volk. I really think about this one.
Riley's got to go back.
I can't imagine. Again, I think Volk and Opsky. Like,
there's so much going on. I'm not risking it. My record already plummeted. Like, I really gotta focus.
She got too much on her plate.
Yeah, I gotta really focus.
I will say that Alexander Volkanovski, and I know this was a controversial thing here, but I think he's the best natural kickboxer in all of the UFC. This guy's just amazing. I watched back that Islam fight, and you see him just switching his stance, trying to test out the guy. He has everything you want out of the start. I can't see him losing to Yair Rodriguez, but Rodriguez is excellent with leg kicks. But
yeah, I don't know.
Volk,
we'll see.
This is a fight.
Volk is literally that guy. I mean, if you want to bring up that meme,
we've
talked
about this before
guy,
too.
Yeah.
We really went into details that one fight. It was what was that? We talked about Volkanovski. We really were highlighting who fought that weekend.
Oh my God,
it's gonna kill me. Yeah, it's gonna kill me. But we had whole rant about Volkanovski.
Yeah, Riley, do some research. I do want to get to the other fight on this UFC 290 card, though. It is a flyweight title fight between Brandon Moreno, the current champion, and he's taking on Alexandre Pantoja in what is going to be a rematch of their first fight. This fight is going to be really exciting, and it's also Moreno's first fight pretty much getting out of that Davison Figueiredo quadrilogy, I guess you would say.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah, which was, that took 3 years, literally starting before COVID, and now that we're, essentially over COVID, now we're only just getting done with it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But, it's always great to see Moreno in the ring again, or octagon, I should say. And he's getting a huge following. So,
well deserved.
Yeah, very well deserved. One of the, best fighters in UFC. Male divisions right now. And also with that, he has a fantastic personality. I'm pretty sure after he won the belt the first time, the first thing that I went to do, most guys go to a club, get a couple of drinks, do their thing.
Typical.
He went to the Lego store. got two full bags of Legos.
That'd be me.
I wouldn't blame him. Legos are awesome.
More fun than a club to me. I'm not
He has a whole Pop Funko collection. People love him just for being who he is. And with that, is a killer skill set of grappling, clinch work, striking. He's such an exciting fighter, and it's going to be a tough test against Pantoja.
Absolutely, absolutely. What I will tell you is, again, for my prediction, I'm going to have to take Brandon Moreno again. I didn't see...
Shoot, I wanted to say Brandon Moreno.
You wanted
no,
to
I
say...
Can't.
Why? I improved. I improved. Look,
that'll just forever be a joke. I can never not do that.
I'm improving, guys. Look, Moreno, he's built a very impressive resume on the career. When you think about rematches, he's built quite an impressive resume. So again, I can't bet against him. So I'll take Moreno for this fight.
Yeah, and I think you did highlight a little bit there. In their first meeting, Moreno and Pantoja won the unanimous decision, or it might have been. I'm not sure if it was unanimous decision or split decision, but he ended up winning a 3-round decision.
Yeah.
But Moreno, as we've seen, he's been really great in rematches has really learned his lesson from prior fights. We could see it most famously with the Figueiredo fight. The first fight ended in a draw, and then that media rematch, Moreno looked like a man on fire, just went out there, took Figueiredo down, choked him out within 2 rounds. It was crazy. And since then, it's been a little bit more competitive in their fights following that. But the way that he was able to take the lessons he learned from that first fight and just implement them in the second fight and totally expose Figueiredo. It makes me excited to see what's going to happen with
Absolutely,
this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, you know how I feel about those BJJ guys, though. You missed it, Madi. I went off.
Yeah.
On the Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
It was with Crone Gracie, which
okay.
is
okay.
Like,
yeah, so I had every reason. But
exceptionally
just,
bad.
Yeah. But BJJ in general, they both are, so it's... I want to be thrilled for this fight. I'm not, because it doesn't really strike my interest as much as the others. But I will say I'm still going Brandon Moreno.
Okay,
am. I guess I'm agreeing with Monty. No,
maybe I get begrudgingly.
Agree. Oh,
yeah.
But
it's
Riley,
not that
I
bad,
guess if
is it?
I guess if you're not a huge fan of this Brandon Moreno fight, then maybe you'll be a fan of UFC 291.
Yes, this is what I want to talk about.
Okay,
Salt Lake City. They're going back to Utah. Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje is that main event, and they are also reintroducing the BMF belt, which I cannot say fully out loud, but you guys can kind of understand what I'm what it means.
Bad mother, shut your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly it.
But yeah, they're bringing back the BMF belt. The last time it was contested was Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal for UFC 244, I believe. I was actually in the crowd there up in the nosebleeds. That was really fun to watch. So it's kind of a full circle thing. I'm finally on this podcast, and they're bringing back the BMF belt. It's going to be awesome. And also, this Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje match is a rematch of one of the best fights in UFC history when these guys first met a couple of years ago. I cannot wait for this fight. Dustin Poirier is one of my favorite fighters, and Justin Gaethje is one of my favorite fighters.
That's what I was going to say. This is, I think, one of the hardest decisions I've had in a while.
Yes.
Like, I'm just like, oh, man, I don't even want to make a decision on this. This is one of those I just want to sit back and watch it happen.
And just watch it happen.
Because I'm just excited. Just but let it happen, I like him. I don't.
I love the lightweight division in the UFC. I remember the days of Tony Ferguson and Khabib just going at each other, and then Conor was there at one point, and then Gaethje's always sticking around and Dustin Poirier.
It's such a deep division. Such like, a deep division. There's so many matchups that you can do, and
you never get to you do get to
bantamweight now though too is really on fire.
Where Aljo Sugar,
very very true. Which actually, I didn't write this in my notes, but I do want to mention it quickly. Aljamain Sterling versus Sean O'Malley is now confirmed for UFC Boston, which is happening this summer, which would be very
I'm
very
so excited. Sterling all the way. Cannot stand Sugar Sean.
All right. I'm glad that we agree on that. Sterling is going to smoke Sean O'Malley.
Well, you're all joke. I'll say that. That's fair. I don't think Sugar.
He's one of those just internet personality guys. Yeah, and I'm not
him
taking
and Patty.
Credit. Yeah,
really.
Not to take credit away. I mean, he's still like what, ranked 2?
Yeah.
In bantamweight. I mean, he's
second contender, third overall. I think it's
yeah,
him
he's
and
up
then
there.
Marab, I believe, and then him.
I mean, I'm not gonna like sit here and take away, you know, take credit away from what he's done. But to me, I just think that like his resume does not equal the hype that comes along with it, which is something we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I think that he's just like. He's that internet boxer, and it's again, he's a real boxer, but the internet just rides with him. I don't think people even really like know anything about him. He's the cool guy on Instagram. He's got the colorful hair. Like, he's annoying to me. He's obnoxious, and just as a fighter, I don't even really like him. Just everything about him, I just don't like.
That is the one place I do differ. I don't love his personality. I have a lot of gripes with it.
But
his style,
his style is amazing. He brings the wow.
Yeah.
He brings
the wow. I think that's the best way to say it.
Maybe I'm flagged by bias, but I just don't get it from him.
I get it. Like, it's almost like that purist in you, where it's like guys like Patty Pimblett, even too, who doesn't garner that like that title shot, or like Sugar Sean O'Malley, and there's Darren Till once upon a time, the next Conor. Like, those guys are just here to like.
Facts.
Yeah.
And I will say, no, but I mean, I'm super excited for this, but I will say we saw it coming with what happened in the cage.
Yeah.
Last week or two weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we saw this coming, the whole jacket.
Yeah, we saw the writing on the wall with the Marab jacket.
Yeah, this is coming. Yeah. He stepped in the cage, which was awesome to watch. So, like, Stevie Wonder knew this, you know, he even saw this in the future. So,
Stevie Wonder
shout out to him. He's coming to graduation this week.
Yeah, Fordham graduation.
So he even saw this one coming. It was very predictable, which, you know, I'm excited for it, though. It's going to be good. We have a lot coming. I mean, the Pereira fight, like, that's going to
be... Oh, yeah. I didn't even mention that. Jan Blachowicz is taking on Alex Pereira in his first fight at light heavyweight since moving up to middle...
This is a hard
since
one
moving
for
up
me.
To light
can
heavyweight
I just say really quickly, welcome to the party. I mean, one hell of a debut. And for the first time, Poatan is going to look like the smaller guy, actually. And this is really going to test his mettle. It's going to test his complete ability as a fighter. Yeah. You know, at middleweight, he was just a man amongst boys. Even against Izzy, it was just like an imposing 6'5". You felt his 6'5". You felt his length. You felt everything. But this guy's he's just one of the rest. And this is going to be a real test and a really deep division for him. So
especially for Jan, who has such a strong grappling
like,
skill set.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't go against Jan here, but I love Alex Pereira, so I'm just really torn.
Yeah, I mean, I love Pereira. I mean, especially the skill set that he brings. It's going to be exciting to watch, but I mean, it's a tough test, but I will say if he gets it done against Jan Blachowicz, especially in like emphatic fashion, which he's very known for, 100% I see immediate title shot for him.
Yeah.
Immediate title shot.
Because you want, I would honestly say he might even skip the line and fight Jamal Hill for the belt before Jiří comes back, because they want to have that whole storyline.
Jiří's still gone, yeah.
Of Jamal Hill beating Glover Teixeira, Alex Pereira's coach, and then Pereira moving then up a weight class to avenge him.
Yeah, that's
this is,
awesome.
This is just a crazy card in general. I'm looking at all of this right now. Kevin Holland, I love Kevin Holland.
He's back with Michael Chiesa in
that's
the ring.
That's going to be... Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love Michael Chiesa. He's been working more on the backside of UFC now as an analyst and just a person that's on the broadcast. But he's still a really great fighter, and
really,
I love
really
Kellen Holland. It's going to be great.
Bobby Green with the redemption.
Yeah.
From that
against El Kukui. Can we talk? Tony Ferguson is back.
I'm so excited.
Dana knew what he was doing dropping this card. He's been listening to us. We've all been tweeting. Everyone's like expressed their concerns.
Everybody's giving
their
him
wants.
Hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, fine, people.
Dana, his black t-shirt.
Yeah, give them what they want. Give them what they want.
Dana,
I mean,
the black cotton t-shirt.
Bobby Green versus Tony Ferguson, though. Oh my God. I mean, Ferguson's definitely a bit.
Don't say it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I love El Cucuy.
I know you're riding with him.
I should have worn my El Cucuy shirt today. I actually have one.
Wow, we all could have been repping someone. Come on, Monty, get on the wig. Whip your shirt out here.
But, man, that's going to be a really fun fight to watch, and one that I think Ferguson can definitely win.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
I think, like, Bobby Green's going to really make it a competitive fight, but it's not something like a Michael Chandler or guy at really like the upper echelons of lightweight where I'm like, he doesn't have a shot anymore.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And also on this card, the Salt Lake City card, is Stephen Thompson versus Michelle
Wonderboy.
I know, Wonderboy coming back at like 41 years old, 40 years old, something like that. And he's going up against the backflip master,
one of the
Pereira.
Best strikers in all of the UFC. Pereira's going to be tough. I don't know if Wonderboy could get it done.
Yeah, and I'm also noticing, this is going to be a little confusing, two Pereiras on the same card.
On the same card.
Also, we're forgetting Paulo Costa, too. Like, that's
very
crazy.
True.
Costa's going
to fight. Signing
back
to the UFC. He's fighting Ikram Alaskarov.
You know how I feel about the Russians.
You don't bet against them.
I mean, that's a bit of a downgrade, because if I'm not mistaken, his last two fights were against, I want to say, what was it, if I could remember off the top of my head. Let me look for it.
I believe it was Luke Rockhold was his last one, right?
Really? Huh.
I might be wrong, because he hasn't fought in a while yet.
Wasn't it Oliveira? I know. Was it Oliveira in the... No.
No, I'm not sure.
Wrong.
But Costa, yeah, I'm looking it up now. His last two fights were in 2022 was against Luke Rockhold. And
then
back in 2021, it was Marvin Vettori, which was... That was like a... big dog fight. It went all five rounds, I believe. Yeah. Vettori attempted over 350 strikes, which is crazy output. But Paulo Costa's finally back, though.
Yeah. I mean, Ikram taking on a guy that's ranked number 5, I want to say. Paulo Costa's at his 5th rank in that division. He's just saying that's going to be an interesting fight, too.
Yeah, I don't... Honestly, I'm not sure why Alaskarov is getting such a high place.
Yeah.
Honestly, only having one fight in the UFC. I mean, I actually was able to go see that fight at UFC 288 when he knocked out Phil Hawes.
It's a Dagestani.
I know, in the first
round. They just get what they want.
I guess they just get what they want. When I saw him in person, he looked fantastic. So, I mean, I think it's going to definitely be a competitive fight.
Absolutely.
And who knows, maybe we're seeing like another Khamzat Chimaev situation where this guy just comes onto the scene and
smokes everybody out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. We'll see. And then filling out the rest of that card is Derek Lewis, and he's taking on Marcos Rogério.
That's always fun with Derek.
Very, very fun card. But I will say, as fun as this card is, and I'm really, really excited for it, I don't love it being at Salt Lake City just because of the elevation. Because we've seen it in past times before. Yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
Me neither.
I mean, the reason I actually thought about it was because when Kamaru Usman and Leon Edwards fought in their second fight, when Leon Edwards knocked him out with that famous head kick, Usman, that was also in Salt Lake City. And we saw Edwards gas really hard in that fight, like really, really,
really
hard.
Really quick.
And then we saw in the trilogy fight, Leon Edwards looked like a new man, like completely different. He looked fine through five rounds and decisively beat Usman. And I think that main difference is just because of the elevation. And we've seen it other times. I mean, I don't know how, if you've guys heard this joke, but the whole sea level Cain Velasquez thing where to explain it, essentially Cain Velasquez, heavyweight champion, he lost his belt at Elevation in Mexico City, and people consider him one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. When he lost his belt, a lot of people just chalked it up to Elevation and said, sea level Kane is still champion, which is hilarious. So I am a little bit worried about the Elevation, especially for that main event, Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje, a fight that will be such high output and so high paced. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I'm still excited. I'm very, very excited.
Absolutely. I mean, if the elements are just like an additional like measure, I guess. So it should make things more interesting. C-level Cain Velasquez. Yeah. Just don't put him in Denver,
Utah.
We're going
to have
a
2-hour podcast this day. Jeez, this
I know.
Is crazy.
This is going long. I know. Well, that is pretty much it for the announcements from the UFC.
I was going to say that when we talk, that's what I meant. When we talk about that, when that gears up, we're really going to be on here for 2 to 4 hours. Yeah. That's going to be wild.
Yeah, no, that's going to be an amazing card. But also, Dana White chose to announce this at a very interesting time, and it seems like he wanted to announce it to kind of overshadow some other MMA news happening, and that MMA news is Francis Ngannou, the former UFC heavyweight champion, finally signing to another organization. We've been waiting for this for months since he left the UFC, and that organization is the Professional Fighters League, the PFL. He's expected to debut in 2024, and with that comes a whole bunch of stuff that he signed onto negotiations, which is fantastic. I'm going to name off a little bit of them. So he is now the official chairman of PFL Africa,
which is insane. It's honestly, I want to laugh. That's just wild.
I know. It's so crazy, but also great for a sport. I'm excited for that. And then also on top of that, his opponents get a guaranteed $2 million for fighting him, which is an interesting stipulation, and I'm very glad that Ngannou did that. It seems like
nice of
him, and also kind of gets a sense of the rest of the fighters and MMA community. Mm-hmm. And also, probably one of the most important things out of the entire contract was Ngannou is still allowed to do boxing bouts outside of the PFL, and he's still allowed to sign contracts with other organizations that are boxing organizations and do fights through that. And off the back of that, he still says that he's interested in Deontay Wilder and a couple other guys. But what do you guys think about this signing? Personally, I'm very, very happy about it.
The signing itself is just like whatever. I know I see Jake Paul on freaking press conferences welcoming the baddest MF-er on the planet. But really what this is to me is it's Conor-esque. Right. Mm-hmm. When we look back on the legacy and the saga of Conor McGregor, he's overrated. But his ascension to stardom was there was an original plan, right? He wanted to get rich. He wanted to get rich. So enter the game, get rich, and get out. But in that time, he became a megastar. He became the biggest star that the UFC has ever seen. Not the best fighter, because that would be Jon Jones or GSP or Khabib, but he became the biggest star where he brought a huge Irish community, and he was brash and he was loud and he had a million quotable lines, and he got rich and he became powerful. He controlled basically everything that went on in the UFC, to the point where he could throw dollies at trucks and injure people. Yeah. And he still got off, and Proper 12 is like a partner of the UFC. So it's very Conor McGregor-esque, where you're just seeing the star take over their own entity, which is not something you see in combat sports. I think it's only really common in basketball, where you see the athlete is bigger than the actual sport itself. But good for Francis Ngannou. I mean, he's turning himself into a star, and he's going to be that vanguard for the PFL.
Yeah. I didn't know Wiz Khalifa was an owner, or he's part of the ownership group. I just saw that.
Really?
Yeah, I was just really?
I actually didn't know that either. That's news to me.
Going through tweets, and he congratulated him, and I looked into it. I was okay, interesting. But, obviously I'm very happy for him because this is what he wanted. He really got what he wanted. I just view it, to me, with rose-colored glasses I don't want to say it, but I feel like this was his way of ducking Jon Jones. And now he's just going to fight.
So you want to say it?
Yeah, he's going to fight a lot of nobodies now. Congrats.
Seen the Twitter tweets?
I'm on the other side of that.
I don't know.
All right. I understand Ngannou, 100%, he is not fighting Jon Jones, and that is so disappointing. I really wanted to see that fight. It's not in Ngannou, though. I think he understands his worth, and I think that he was willing to sacrifice a bit of his legacy and a bit of that money to make the MMA community overall better for fighters, yeah. But legitimately.
I don't know. Did he really sacrifice money? I feel like he
I also don't want to frame that as like a selfless thing either. Yeah. I don't think he's like,
it's one hell of an excuse though.
That's why I feel like if anything, this was slightly, I don't want to say selfish because he knows his worth. Like you said, I agree with that, but you know, I think this was just a reach to show that you know your worth. Like he's biting off a piece of his legacy, and it, to me, that shows what's more important to him, your legacy or a good contract and some ownership.
I definitely see the other viewpoint, but also, I mean, like, I've seen a lot of like him talking and like what he kind of want to leave for the sport. And one of the main things that he does talk about is development of MMA in Africa and everything like that. Yeah. And also just the better quality of like fighters. Cause I mean, that's, you know, something obviously really tied to his story coming from Cameroon. And that's something that I really respect. Cause I mean, we've seen what African fighters can do in the UFC.
Yeah.
And other MMA organizations, and there are scarily few numbers of them. Mm-hmm. So to see that development and him take a actual active hand into that process, we still haven't seen any plans, so I mean, that's still up in the air. But I mean, just the incentive, or not the incentive, just the commitment to doing that is something that I really like to see.
The most impressive thing that he's done so far was the $2 million stipulation. I did not know about that. And in my, like, fantasy world, that it's kind of like a way to stick it to the UFC, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, because pay disparities has always been a huge thing. They've been on Dana's you-know-what for a while talking about pay disparities, you know. Only fighters at the top end, really, Conor McGregor, and then that's it. Make that sort of money. And then other people on the other side are going, well, we're only fighting 3 times a year, 30 Gs a show. That's 90,000, and that's more than, like, your 90, blah, 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 blah. But, $2 million to fight Francis Ngannou. Like, again, it's very Conor-esque. He's putting himself in the middle, and he's making the PFL like a heliocentric system that revolves around Francis, because he's the big guy making the decisions in the office. He's fighting. It's like his own little dream world, and he has his paintbrush, and he's just going over doing what he wants. So that's how I see it. That's very, very impressive. So good for him.
Yeah, we'll see the picture he paints with that, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's also very interesting that Dana White was thinking, hey, I'm going to drop a ton of news the same day that one of our biggest lost stars signed
with
another.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say, I mean, I don't think Dana White is a nice person. He's a smart businessman, though.
Yeah.
And that is 100% what you want to do. So, I mean, it's all fair game, I guess. But I'm excited to see what Ngannou does, especially when he debuts in 2024. But I guess some other news before we wrap up. I do want to touch on this, which is very, very funny.
I've been waiting for this one.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Is it funny?
It's
more so sad.
It's a little bit
Depends
sad.
Depends what angle you're looking at it from.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just odd. I did not even see this like materializing or coming up. It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So Israel Adesanya is currently being sued by his ex-girlfriend. Her name is Shauna Evers. It's so odd that she's trying to extort money out of him, or not extort, just like
that is extortion.
It really is.
That's extortion.
And I think like the basis of her argument is essentially that like she needs to get compensation because she essentially helped him win all those fights when they were together, or like offered
How
something.
Does that work?
Here's the thing. Think smarter,
know.
Sister.
Yeah.
Because you should have got a ring out of him at least, so you were in a position to get married and have kids with him. If this was your all-time goal to get some money, you can't just date someone and just, that's not how this works. Like, do you know how many people I've dated where I've like helped them along the process? I don't expect money or anything from their success. That's what you do when you date people. You support your significant other. Like, I've dated people and they supported me. I supported them in return. Obviously, you know, neither of them became a millionaire fighter.
Oh, wow.
But, like, sorry, but, like, you go separate ways, and then you hope for their success while you're together. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I would give her the benefit of the doubt if she was the mother of his children, maybe, married him. But then I still would be like, no, like, figure it out. Like, this is why, like, you be smarter, guys. Like, don't give, if this is, like, her outlook, if it's true, like, she gave up everything to help him in his career, then you're a moron. You gave up, like, work on yourself. Like, I don't know. I just think that's, a bizarre take. I just look at it as now she's sitting here. She's like, shoot, my ex-boyfriend's successful. I'm lonely, miserable, and poor, so let me just try to get something out of this really quick.
Yeah, that's how I definitely view it. And also, I do have a bit of a correction. His ex-girlfriend's name is Charlotte Poudrell, not the other one that I said. I don't know how I screwed that up. I apologize for that. But either way, the point still stands, Riley. That's ridiculous.
This is like, just out of nowhere.
It's nonsensical. I don't understand it other than just trying to see, like trying to tear somebody down from their peak, especially with Adesanya's, you know, reclaiming of the middleweight belt. He's on top of the world.
It was
right
convenient
now.
Timing. Do we know if they like just recently broke up or if they like broke up a little bit ago?
Let me do
just
some
out
research
of curiosity.
Real quick.
But either way, and then
it's
you
the
have
most,
her.
Yeah, it's the most ridiculous thing. Just out of nowhere, I'm suing you.
She's delusional.
Yeah, what do I? What
I'm gonna
do
be
you
honest. She's delusional.
What do you say to that?
And what's even funnier is the lawyer who's clearly using her because they see dollar signs. They're like, oh shoot, yeah, her lawyer
she's
fees
gonna,
are gonna.
Yeah, her lawyer
they're
fees
like,
are
yes,
gonna be.
Yes, girl, you got this, girl. Let's go. We got him.
She has not a damn case in court.
There's no way she wins this. If she does, I think that we as a society need to reevaluate a lot of stuff. Because that, who, what men are gonna want to date anybody after this? Like, if I was a guy, I would literally, or even just as a girl, like, who knows? Like, if I get successful and like a boyfriend of mine sues me, like, at that point, if she somehow wins this, which I don't think there's any way, shape, or form she
there's
does,
no chance.
I would never want to date ever again.
Just judicial litigation left and right.
Like, purely from like a business, I'm like, why put yourself out there and risk it?
It's
but, like,
crazy.
A little bit of update though. I think I'm not sure if it happened in April.
It's recent.
It was recent, though. It was recent-ish, yeah. I'm not sure if it was before he fought at UFC 287 or after.
Either
I'm not
way.
Positive.
Like,
but either way, though, it was fairly recent.
That's crazy.
Because also, apparently, this was going down on Instagram also. Like, apparently, Adesanya posted a whole bunch of DMs. I scrolled through, and I was like, this is, I'm going to
She's a moron.
Later.
I mean, just thinking that you have the right to do this, like, you're just a low-life human being, not to be cold, but, like, yeah, to be cold. Like, if this is your mind state, like, you shared, like, a loving, hopefully a loving, like, actual relationship. You stayed with this guy for so long. Like, you know, you have, like, you should have some sort of, like, a feeling or, like, an emotion towards him. And to just screw him over this royally or to attempt to is, like, crazy. I don't care if he cheated on her or anything like that. Like, you made the choice to put yourself and your career on hold to benefit your boyfriend. That's your own fault.
Yeah. I think this is just something that she had in mind that just went too far. Like she said, I'm going to sue you. And then it was like, oh, well, we're at this point now. And then she just decided to go through with it.
No, I think she probably thought she was getting wiped up and then realized she wasn't. She's like, shoot, I got to get my money somehow.
So I'm going to sue my ex-boyfriend who I have no kids
She's
with.
She's been scouting
and
him.
Nice.
Like, I've seen, like, the crazy, like, Instagram models who get, like, pregnant on purpose to try to get these scenarios. But I've never in my life, I don't think anyone has seen a girlfriend try to sue because of time. Like, that is, like, I could say it, like, a million times over. That is 100% your choice. You chose to do that. No one asked you to support his career. You could easily support your boyfriend's career and still work on yourself. Like, you didn't, no one said give up your whole life. And if that's what you chose to do, then, you know, walk away now. Like, it's over. Like, you screwed, like, that was the risk you took.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think this is one of the, I guess, the few talking points that we all agree on. Mahdi, I think that you agree as well.
You better.
All right, cool.
He's so. Like, heck no, girl's not taking my money when I pop up.
Yeah, so
what
I mean,
do you say to this?
We'll see how it develops. I can't see it getting.
It won't develop.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
whoever took her case is just like they're a scumbag too because they're just gonna take her for her lawyer
fees.
They want those because there's no way she wins.
They're gonna sue her.
No
blonde.
Way she wins. Like, yeah.
They're gonna take her money. That's
if anything, I could see him countersuing.
Yeah,
he's gonna countersue now.
Don't
like,
do it.
That'd be so brutal.
Whoever advised her that this was a good idea, like, get them out of your life, sister. Like, it was peace and love. Like. No, they're not helping you. They're hurting you. And she just royally looked like the biggest moron on the planet. And
yeah, you know. Such a bad look. Such
yikes,
a bad look.
Yikes.
But yeah, I guess going off that, before we wrap up, we do have one other fight to talk about, and that is the UFC fights going on this Saturday night. That is Angela Hill taking on Mackenzie Dern. That is going to go down at the T-Mobile Arena, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a pretty fun fight. I'm pretty interested in it. I've always been a big fan of Angela Hill. Fun fact about her, her grandparents are actually part of one of the most famous UFO abductions in the entire world.
Whoa.
Which is,
whoa.
I know, totally
Might
off base.
Might have to switch
base.
My vote now.
Yeah, totally off base. And actually, kind of influenced the creation of that movie Nope, which I don't know if you guys have
seen. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, which is very, very funny.
What a story.
I know,
not
totally,
expecting.
Yeah, very tangential, not related. But yeah, Angela Hill, really great fighter, good striking, has come up on the bad side of a couple close decisions in recent years. But despite that, has been one of the most game fighters in the women's division.
Absolutely.
And she's going up against Mackenzie Dern, who is a bit of a crone, like a female equivalent of a Crone Gracie. But honestly, I would say she's even better than a Crone Gracie because she has success on the feet. And she actually has takedowns that lead her to her excellent jiu-jitsu, which are leg locks, arm bars, you name it. She like flows so well on the ground and is just able to finish fighter after fighter. So I'm really excited to see how this fight plays out. Personally, I think I have, again, I'm flip-flopping right before I say it. I think Angela Hill gets it.
I'm just going to, you know, I'm very wishy-washy in this one too. I'm kind of in the middle, but just to be different, I'll go Mackenzie Dern.
I mean, Angela Hill, her last fight against Emily Ducat, she just dismantled her. It was a unanimous decision. It wasn't close. I think in total strikes, she destroyed her in the strike category. I'll go Angela Hill.
Yeah.
Just
this
based
one
off
I
of her last
really,
fight. Based off of her last fight with the significant strikes, almost tripling, actually.
Yeah.
What Emily Ducat had. I'll go Angela Hill.
All right.
Got you.
Good enough.
Yeah, fair. I'm kind of getting a little sense of you're not too excited about this, Riley.
It's like, I'm just, you know, I got the boxing this weekend. I really, UFC is not even in my mind. I wish it was, but right now I'm dialed into Devin Haney, Lomachenko. That's my Saturday. You know what I'll be doing.
Yeah, you might just check out the highlights of this fight.
Yeah, I'll check it out after, but yeah, Haney's got my attention.
Yeah, I might do a bit of a dual screen type thing. You know, have the UFC fights on one screen, have the Devin Haney card on the other.
I don't
other.
Even want to split the screen.
Honestly, Devin Haney
gets my full screen. Lomachenko. Yeah. Listen, it's a very exciting weekend. We have a very exciting summer ahead of us with all these fights. We just got a lot to talk about, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I think that'll do it for this week's installment of Pound for Pound. Make sure to check out Haney vs. Lomachenko and the UFC fights this weekend. Before we go, I want to thank my wonderful co-hosts, Riley Lucas and Madi Dembele. I'm your host, Andrew Carneri. Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports, and have a great rest of your day.